Okay.
No paper?
We are recording.
No, she wasn't coming today.
Oh, okay.
She said that last night.
Oh.
She was working from home today. She'd listened to the recording.
Oh, okay.
So the first thing, is there any public comment? I don't see anybody from the public here. So.
Who takes minutes on this?
I do, and then sometimes I have a staff member call.
Oh, okay.
So, but we have the, and they can take, a lot of times I'll have staff members write them up right from the recording as well.
Sure.
So.
I don't think we did this last night, but we usually just go around and say who's in the room.
Yeah. Steve Olkins, Finance Director.
Rick Fagerly.
Audrey Nelson.
Andrew Plowman.
Julie Osmus.
Fernando Alvarado.
Okay.
Citizen.
Yeah. It's kind of a different agenda for tonight without a chairman or vice chairman. So, and there's no public comment. The third item on the agenda is chairman and vice chairman or election of officers.
I nominate Audrey for chairman.
Second.
Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nominations?
Julie's counting.
Cast a white ballot for Audrey Nelson as chairman.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
How about vice chairman?
I like Rick.
I second Rick.
I'll third Rick.
Are there any other nominations for vice chairman? Any other nominations for vice chairman? Any other nominations for vice chairman? I guess you could be doing this since you were elected chairman.
Yeah.
If not, cast the white ballot for Rick as vice chairman.
Yes.
Okay. And now I will turn it over to Audrey, who is the chairman.
We talked briefly about what we came up with last night for Public Works and kind of how that finance could meet the next night. Do the same week of the council, the first and third, staying with the same time frame at 5:15. Is there any questions about that or concerns? We did talk about the 5:15 time frame, but I am concerned if we stay consistent for the public. Because
yep.
I think, and I think it was good for you too, 5:15, right?
Yeah, it's after work hours for me, so it's not, there's no work conflicts.
Okay.
Unless I'm out of town.
All right. So if someone has any other question or someone want to make a motion for the scheduling of finance?
I make a motion that we meet the Thursday after the first and third council meetings of each month at 5:15.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to meet after the first and third council meetings. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so we've got that done. The next thing on the agenda is the preliminary Wilmer Main Street budget. And I'm going to let Steve walk us through that. I think we got documentation. But are they just how do they fit into the structure of the city?
Well, as you see in the budget, I believe there was a budget form there, and I can pull it up here to look at it as well. The $32,500 that shows as a city.
Can you make it a little bit bigger, please?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
How can I do that?
I don't need that yet. I got young eyes.
I can do it on here.
Oh, at the plus sign up there? To the right.
Receivables.
Right there.
Julie, I'll share with you.
There we go.
Is that big enough?
Sure.
Or you want one more?
Nope, that's good.
There you go. Okay. The $32,500 that shows as a city line item is what the city had, the mayor had put into the budget for Main Street program. And then in talking with Sarah Swedberg, who is the city staff member on Main Street, they've got another roughly $25,000 in grants and other program funding that they know of already. And so this is just formally setting the budget for the entire Main Street program at a total of $57,000. Now, if they do come across additional grants and they can leverage, then they would come back to the committee and ask for permission. They can apply for up to $10,000 based on council action, but to accept it, then they would have to come back to, we would bring it back to the finance committee for an adjustment to their budget.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. Okay, so how does this fit in with like CIP? So you said originally budgeted was 32.5.
Mm-hmm.
Is that 32.5 allocated in the CIP? Is it spoken for, or is it only partial?
It is not in the capital improvement program. It is more in an operating budget program as far as services for what used to be the downtown group.
That's why I was not finding it.
Yeah, no, it's in, I believe it's in the community development department, the 41402 department, into their professional services line items where they are other services.
But that would be the 32.5, not any additional grant funds.
Correct, and so what this would do is that would remove that and we would transfer it out of their operating budget and create this budget so that we can account for it separately, and then any kind of grants and matching funds that it's accounted for separately and doesn't get swallowed up.
So projects that come up that may be able to take use of these funds, then we'll be able to have this fund to point to or to direct to that the funds are coming out.
Right, they would be dedicated to the Main Street program and Main Street only and not any other operating costs to the city.
And any grants they're applying for, they can apply as the City of Wilmer?
Yes.
They don't have to be an entity or anything else.
Well, it depends on the grant itself. Some grants require a governmental agency to be the fiscal agent. Some programs, I'm not sure that Main Street has got their tax status of a 501c3, or is a recognized entity. Sarah didn't convey that to me.
Well, Wilmer Main Street, the title we're using, would not be, but there might, I mean, like Minnesota Main Street might be.
Right. They are definitely a recognized organization at the Department of Revenue in the state of Minnesota. Now, Wilmer Main Street, I'm not sure if they've gotten that delegation or designation yet.
Okay, just for my own information, was this the money that we would have paid somebody before that coordinated everything?
Yeah.
Wilmer Main Street?
Yeah, it kind of went to Bev Doherty was
right.
The executive director.
Yeah, Wilmer Downtown.
Downtown.
Rick
yeah.
Was
and
yes,
that program
yes.
Kind of, this is kind of replacing.
Okay,
it.
So are we paying anybody now to coordinate all of these funds? And
the city staff member, again, is Sarah Swedberg. It's part of her job duties.
Okay.
Yep, to coordinate that, to schedule the meetings, the agendas, and all that.
I knew we had to add her that job title onto her because of
duties.
The grant.
Yeah.
But okay,
yep.
So.
Yeah, so that's.
I didn't know if we were still paying somebody from the downtown
no,
area.
No, and okay. if you look at the expenditure side of the budget here, there's nothing planned for as far as personal services.
Salaries,
yeah,
sure.
all her salary is charged to community development and planning and.
Sure.
So the major part of it there you'll see is some communications and some travel, and then these other services are for different programs that they're working on. But she's the one who submitted this to us for.
Okay. And did we need to know the specifics on that other $24,000?
No, at this point there is no specifics, but she's, like I said, got different things in the works from what she explained to me.
Didn't she share grants. That with us?
Yep.
Did she?
It was a grant for $31,000 for
yeah.
art or something.
I thought
that
she shared that with us.
Oh, this became a controversy on Facebook. That's what... which I added.
Oh, so is that Minnesota Main Street then? Funds that are? I
thought the money was received for specific things to do,
we
art
were talking,
things downtown, right?
We
yep.
were talking, I believe she said, and I could be mistaken here for the record, but I believe that reference was made to these funds could be applied to things like sidewalk rehab, benches, lighting,
yeah.
art, potentially like
sculptures.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Sculptures.
And then even potentially there was talk of working with the municipal utilities, because remember their presentation where they talked about the lighting upgrade, mm-hmm. and the city was going to have to pay a portion of that depending on what kind of lights
we want
to go with. Yeah, and so if we wanted to go, and she said there was the potential of applying some of the grant funds if awarded, if received towards that. Now, I don't know if those are the same funds.
Right.
I can ask her for clarification and include that in the minutes as far as what those funds would be at this point coming from, if that's what you'd like.
So
the main public feedback that I was getting immediately following the meeting was we shouldn't spend that money downtown. That money should go towards fixing streets and stuff like that. And the conversation, I tried to steer back towards any grant funds for downtown are, you know, they fall under specific parameters. We can't just take the money and do whatever we want with
it. Designated for downtown.
And that's why the recommendation is to transfer this money out of the operating of planning and development and create the Main Street, Wilmer Main Street budget so that they can be tracked separately. And
so if they get the money that they just worked on now through with HRA and that will fit under this then too?
Is it the Small Cities Development Grant would be its separate own grant. HUD requires that accounting for that.
But not under Main Street then?
No, because the grant that was talked about at Monday's council meeting, there were two purposes in that.
Yep.
And so they would have to be restricted to that. That grant has customarily been administered by the HRA, both when the city had an HRA and the county, and when they were combined. It's now run all through the county and has to be accounted for separately.
Okay. All right, so you're asking us...
introduce a resolution to adopt this budget.
So our motion would be a recommendation to bring the resolution to the to the council meeting?
Mm-hmm.
I would make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second. With the clarification on that, what that 24.5 is.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we need to talk about amending the credit card use policy.
Madam Chair, the council at the beginning of the year, or at the end of last year, we brought a credit card policy to you. And what has happened or transpired since that time is that we've had a couple of non-department head positions request, and the administrator has no problem with issuing them a city credit card. But according to the present policy, that's not allowed by the fourth paragraph, which spells out the different positions. The policy did, however, allow the administrator shall approve or establish credit card accounts and authorizing of employees who may use the credit cards. That was in the policy, but it conflicted with that paragraph. And so we're just asking to strike the actual positions, and then the administrator would still authorize the policy or the people who would be issued them. Each person would have to sign the user agreement, which clearly states that they are personally responsible if the council decides for some reason you get the list of bills and you decide that that's not an eligible cost. They're agreeing that they will provide detailed slips attached. And so that's basically the change, is that we're just asking to give the administrator basically the authority to designate who would get those, and then we would still track them in finance and have the signed agreement, and there's a whole procedure. If they leave, they have to turn it in and that type of stuff. So basically the change is just removing the restriction of the department.
If I remember when we did this back in November, you were comfortable with the the process that needed to go through finance regarding the credit cards, right?
Yeah. We follow
the
state.
So you're good with this?
Yep, there's a state statute that spells that all out. It can't be used for any personal purchases, even if they intend to reimburse it. It can't be that. It has to be city business. This the two positions we have that have been requesting it is the position at the community center, and then now in planning and zoning, since that credit card has been turned in, and
yep.
And so that position isn't listed there, so.
Sure.
So we're really not incurring any further liability than what we've always had.
No, this actually will help clean it up. In the last time we looked at it, we didn't really have this credit card user agreement. We were looking at it, and what we did is we kind of took a policy and an agreement document that another city had and just incorporated into Wilmer.
So, like, when police officers are going to training, are they handing them the police department credit card to pay for their hotels and their
basically
their meals and
they're
stuff?
Using that to call in.
Sure.
And using that.
Okay.
And there might be, again, another. I don't know if Sue is using the chief's, because Sue would not have
okay.
one. So there may be another position then that would have to go through the approval process of the administrator signing off on it.
Because I'm thinking that's the department that has the most people going to trainings. And
travel and, yeah. and those types of things have always been kind of somewhat of an issue. And we're looking at the travel policy, too, as far as reimbursement on meals and the requirement to have detailed slips. The state auditor actually requires detailed slips.
Well, that was.
Yeah, and it is.
Okay.
But
always has been.
Yeah. And so I know we revised it here recently a couple years ago to coincide with the state of Minnesota's policy on travel. And that if they go to a metropolitan area, the reimbursements are based on IRS allowances
sure.
for those.
It's not as though we have employees just running all over with credit cards.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's,
no.
It's no. much more common for than that.
Yep.
Okay, so we're looking for a motion.
Yep.
Yep. So we are looking for a motion to introduce this resolution to adopt the credit card
policy,
use policy as amended.
The updates. Okay, as amended.
Yep.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion and second. Any further discussion on that? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, next item is uncollectible accounts receivable information.
There's no required action, Madam Chair, but since this was such a large amount and this is the second time that this has occurred in the city, we had an ag lease for some ag land, and we had sent bills. This actual lease actually required payments two times a year, once in spring for planting and then one after fall after harvest. We sent invoices out to the respective leasee in November 1st, which is 30 days prior to when it's due on December 1st. We then continue to send reminder notices and penalty notices based on the lease. The city has an accounts receivable policy that when it becomes 90 days old, we turn them automatically over to the city attorney, who sends out a collection letter, goes through that process. That most of the time will get a repayment quickly when you get an attorney letter from an attorney. This didn't happen, and we received where the individual declared bankruptcy. And so we got notice of a discharge of this, and so we're just letting the council know that we are be writing off this accounts receivable for $29,000 plus.
Does this terminate the lease?
This was the last of this lease. Actually,
okay.
This person assigned the lease prior to him not paying the bill.
What do you mean? Signed it.
The city, he came into the planning development, and there's a new person that was assigned the lease, took over the lease.
Oh.
So isn't that person responsible for paying
this,
it?
This payment?
No.
Not according to the city attorney. No, not when you declare bankruptcy and you receive that discharge notice.
Did he have the authority, though, to assign it? Like
to
that?
Assign it?
Yeah.
I would have to check to see the city approved the assigning of the lease out of the planning and developmental services.
I believe they do if it's prior to the declared bankruptcy.
Yeah, and it was.
So basically the person I would, who he sublet it to, got the land for nothing then?
No. This person actually harvested everything, farmed the land, and didn't pay the second half.
And didn't have to.
And didn't have to because of the bankruptcy, and we've had this happen one other time in the city.
And he assigned it prior to the, probably the bankruptcy.
Before all of the... Yep.
It's intentional, but it's a loophole.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so then why does the planning commission approve it, allow it?
Well, it was assigned, it was allowed, the assignment was allowed before all this took place.
Because they don't know.
Right.
How much land do we have that we're leasing?
Oh, there's...
quite a few.
Yeah, there's hundreds of acres. All the industrial park area.
Okay.
From the industrial park all the way over to Old County Road 5, that's all in ag leases. There's ag leases out by the waste treatment plant. I think there was a grand total this time of about 8 to 10 leases.
Just a question.
Mm-hmm.
So the dates when we already knew that they hadn't paid, it would be interesting to see when that assignment was accepted by the city, because we should have clarified that the payments had been made before we allowed the assignment.
If we go back to 2017.
Yeah. Not? Couldn't we have?
Well, we certainly can. I guess I didn't check that out, but I can get that information when the assignment happened.
I mean, I doubt that we can do anything about this one, but for future, if someone's going to do an assignment, wouldn't it make sense to make sure that they paid there before we allow the assignment?
Mm-hmm. I fully agree that, maybe there might be a little tweaking that should go into that, because this, you know, fool me once. But if there was any possible recourse, I'm sure our legal entities would have found it.
I believe the change that the leases were just renewed or sent out, and I believe they changed the bid specs so that the payment has to be made in the beginning 100%.
Prior
to them even planting. Yes.
Was there any changes made when this happened before, or was that considered a fluke at that time?
That was the one and only time that it's ever happened before. And
how long ago was that?
I mean,
20 years?
No, I'm guessing...
5 years?
There are 4-year leases. I'm guessing it was probably 8 years, 4 to 8 years ago. Yeah.
So,
and when it goes through the bankruptcy process, there's really nothing that... you can do.
Okay.
Not on a lease.
No, not a collection.
So you are asking us, this will become part of our minutes.
This is just
to go
information.
To there, and we are simply receiving this for information, but you will be prepared to...
answer any questions.
Answer the questions about the assignment.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So we don't need a motion or anything.
No, this is just, it's an informational thing rather than just administratively writing off $29,000, which is what the attorney... I mean, has given us the direction to do.
Okay.
So.
Again, just a learning question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've discussed this before, but how are the people picked? Who gets the lease? Okay.
It's a bidding process. Specs, the parcels are out there. We have had conversations prior to Bruce leaving about the old airport was so fragmented. With different parcels to go through that and clean it all up, and that would help with leasing and everything and farming, and make it either one unit or different types of, because there's, you know, odd shapes and everything else out there.
That's
mostly the same players. I mean, mostly the same.
It's normally the same.
Bidding.
Yep, same farmers. I mean, I think there was, and it's mainly farmers that are in that proximity that bid on it.
Seems to me we had some quirky things in the bids the last time.
There was one irregular shaped small parcel that's landlocked that the council took action on to the lessee that surrounds it, and it was based on the average of all the bids, and that was given to that one parcel only.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So,
is he still renting stuff then?
That person,
he's not the one that filed bankruptcy.
This one that filed bankruptcy has no current leases. Was not included in the bidding process even this.
I imagine they're on the list now. Do not include.
Legally, they cannot.
They cannot do that because of bankruptcy.
Because
of bankruptcy.
Yep.
But I would be looking at.
The process.
What can we do with the, well, so this doesn't happen again, like you said, either pay it up front, or the, is there some change we have to do with the planning commission that when it comes to assignments and what kind of background check is done?
And I will confirm.
Not to allow the assignment.
I will confirm the.
Rent isn't paid.
Yes, that change was done in the bid specs this year where a payment is required upfront.
Is that the planning commission though, or was it?
Planning office, planning and development office.
Oh, okay.
You know,
got it.
Because they basically were supervising the airport, and the airport manager reports to that office.
Okay.
And works. The planner, before she left, the previous planner handled all of the contracts and leases and paperwork and stuff, and so.
Who was that?
Megan.
Megan Shepherd.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And so when she left, then the airport manager's lease, actually now he.
He handles it.
Handles it and works with the planning office.
Okay.
If he's got issues.
I was gonna say, that is one other option to the process, is if we were going to say there was gonna be a reassignment, if it's not 100% down, if there was going to be a reassignment, there could be a clause that before that reassignment takes place, then that payment would be due immediately or prior to the reassignment. So it's an option to.
Yeah.
That's our last item on the agenda, but I, last night at Public Works, we talked about the 2019 improvement report and preliminary budget. And I believe that Sean indicated he was going to be prepared on Monday night to review the financial side of that, which he had in his car report that the total cost for 2019 improvements was $6,186,631, but he's included in there stormwater and like the new street new light in out in
Highway 40
and
money
or whatever it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what he was sharing is that there's money that needs to come from other places besides the streets, and that on Monday night when he was bringing this to us, that we would be able to have the financial side of that.
Yep. Did he have the budget in the, I mean, because we worked up a preliminary budget. And the conversations that Sean and I had this year is that, and if you, the council recalls, there were some streets that had to be pulled last time.
Yep.
And it was a timing and a just communication issue. And so our conversation this year was, rather than staff going through and adjusting and massaging what streets the numbers or the finances would do, is that he should bring forth to the council the streets and projects he feels needs to be done. Then the financing issue will take place and be discussed as far as if there are available dollars or what the options are to pay for those streets, and the council can then decide yay or nay on the financing issues. To give just a brief history for some council members who maybe haven't had it before, is that the way street projects and stuff work is that engineering comes and they determine what projects they feel are needed. They then tell us or work up what funds are available or known, like state aid money, municipal state aid money, municipal utility, any cash accounts that we don't have to borrow for. And so then that is subtracted from what they're totally saying we need, like the $6 million, to determine then how much do we have to borrow in order to do the projects that he's recommending.
He had that number too. I think it went from 6.18 down to 4.
Yeah.
It is in here, but we didn't go over this.
Well, we have a budget form, actually, that we've worked up as well, similar to what we had for the Main Street.
We kind of asked for a little better clarification breakdown of to include then all those other possible revenue sources.
And we do have that. We worked on that. I think the bonding, and then so we borrow the difference between what cash is available and what he's projecting. Now, that borrowing or bond is paid from two sources. It's paid from special assessments, which is against the property owners, and then the remaining amount has been paid from the city's community investment fund. Community investment fund consists of a bunch of bonds that were defeased, and excess cash was put in there. It also includes, if you recall the discussion at the retreat, this $4 utility fee. In 2011, the council dedicated that for infrastructure replacement. And so that, those two revenue sources pay for the difference between the bond and what the assessments will pay for. And each year, that amount is certified. So you take the 10-year program, subtract out what assessments are going to come in each year, and that difference is actually a certification that goes to the county and would go on the property tax rolls. Since the city created the Community Investment Fund, that has never had to be certified on the property tax rolls. The Community Investment Fund has paid that difference since its inception in 1990.
And that was from the defeased bonds?
Defeased bonds, and then when interest rates dropped, there wasn't enough interest earnings from the defeased money, so then the utility fee was established, and then it was increased and then dedicated totally for infrastructure.
Okay.
That made up for the fact that we were losing in terms of what we could assess for and the value that we were getting dollar for dollar in that.
Exactly. The proof of what the improvement was to the property was always kind of a possible lawsuit pending to happen.
And so we always figure it's about 35%. What?
Well, the number that was always said was 75%, but in reality
it doesn't apply.
Yeah, the policy, the assessment policy, which has been going to be looked at, but due to staffing changes and everything, is just one of those that needs to be revisited. It's 75% of the cost is supposed to be assessed to the property owner, but to prove benefit of 75% is nearly impossible.
Okay, and this is kind of a public works question, but it always carries over into finance. But I was hearing some discussion about the difference in what we pay for our street improvements and what the county pays. And my understanding was we were paying a higher price because of this process of that the companies that bid for it, it gets frustrating because we put in so much and then we take some out.
That was, I don't know if that's one of the reasons, but I know that the number of companies that bid on our projects is one item that causes that. But again, some of the discussion we had this year was for Sean to recommend what projects he feels needs to, and then the council should have the discussion about the dollar amounts to see if you want to pay that, because the Community Investment Fund will not, there's a 10-year program, and we monitor our assessments and everything and see what dollars are available. In the 2019 budget, there's about a $683,000 obligation for the 10 years.
Okay.
And we are projecting $680,000 of revenue. Now, each year, one of those years, the bonds are paid off. And so that year's allocation becomes available to pay for the debt of the new debt for 19. And so we calculate and monitor that, and now with year-end process, we determine if there's going to be enough dollars to pay for what's being proposed.
Okay.
And so.
But did it make sense what I was saying?
Well, I think there was a concern, whether that's real or not, right. It doesn't really matter. But
there
was a
concern.
But I thought
at some point, do we need to be looking at how we're proposing the number for
these
street improvements?
That's why they're doing what they're doing now. But the problem is going to be that what's being proposed now, I don't know that we have enough cash for. So we have to decide what he wanted, and that's what he said last night, was he wanted to get this in front of us and to understand the financial side of it, so that if we want to do this, then where's the money going to come from? Versus putting it out for bids and then having to pull it back because we didn't have the money to do it.
Because that will affect those bids as well.
Because that'll affect the bids also.
Very definitely.
So
and
I think this is a positive step.
Okay.
But I think the part that we didn't hear last night was the financial side of it, and for us to recognize that we might have to come up with money from somewhere else, because there may not be, if I understand correctly, enough money to use that, just that fund, right?
Right. The total amount that would have to be borrowed is somewhere around $4.7 million. Well, I think 1.7 of that would be assessments projected at this point. So that leaves $3 million. And if you spread that out over a 10-year period, you're looking at about $400,000 annual debt service in order to retire that. And as I mentioned, we got $680,000 that's covering a 10-year program now. So a $400,000 obligation in 1 year is two-thirds, basically, of what we're covering for 10 years now. So, and the big project that I remember seeing in there, one of the major projects is the storm sewer. And if I remember our conversation, depending on the timing of that storm sewer, may make it eligible for the local option sales tax funding source.
That's one thing that he did discuss, is that based on state legislature
passing it.
So we approved this to be done, though, last year. We told them to do this project and find the money when we approved this.
Which project?
The stormwater, the Cambridge. Are you talking about the Cambridge one?
Cambridge, yep.
Yes, and on here it's $411,000.
Well, I'm not exactly sure of what the action was.
The concern that I know that you can't use a project that was approved. Isn't that correct?
Right.
Right.
So that would be a concern.
I thought he said last night we still had to come up with the own funding for Cambridge.
Yeah, I think the action of the council was to...
He was hoping, I think he said, that we could use.
I thought that was something else. But okay.
I think the action of the council was to evaluate it and to come up with a funding source. But you have not actually approved the project until we had a funding source to pay for it.
Okay. See, the way I thought we voted on it was just get it done, find the money.
Well, I wouldn't advise that.
Well,
that's what I thought.
That's what I thought we did. Oh. And so when he said that it's in this year's, because I thought they were already working on it, and that...
Well, they've done, from my understanding, they've done the design work, and that those costs would not be eligible because they've been incurred prior to...
Right, so
establishment.
As I understand
tax.
It, when I asked before, the soft costs have already been absorbed. Yeah. So the design engineering costs
are done,
and that was 10-15% of the estimated budget.
Yeah.
So,
for the project.
Not opposed to doing these,
mm-hmm.
but I think if you're going to ask us, are we going to do all of them, then we have to understand where the money is going to come from.
Well, I believe the action at last night's meeting was to order the report and set the public hearing. It wasn't to order the improvements, or was it?
Right. No. It was to begin the process.
Yeah.
And then he did also say that, you know, if the council does determine, look, we're not going to fund all of this, that he was ready and prepared to come back with a prioritized list for if something was to be trimmed. He kind of had a good idea of the prioritization schedule that he would recommend what not to trim, and if we're going to trim something, what to trim.
And part of the report normally has if it's feasible and financially feasible to pay for it, and these are the mm-hmm. sources to pay for it.
Right.
That's part of the report that would come back to the council to be discussed at the public hearing.
Why doesn't it make sense to just say, because he's going to know, because we went through, you know, what it's going to cost for the full restructure and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You have $4.5 million. Then tell us which you already prioritize and tell us which ones are going to be done. I'm going to go with the recommendation of the expert
mm-hmm.
over bringing it to the council, and then we're going to say, nope, we don't, because if we don't have the funding in place,
Well, the question will be on the council on that $683,000 that I mentioned that is paying for that 10-year portion at this point. Each year, that's decertified. It's over there to be put on the property tax rolls, but when we certify the property tax levy, we tell them there's enough money in the community investment fund to cover those, and then so remove those from the certification. The council has the option of not doing that. So you could leave that on the property tax roll. And so that's an option on accelerating the street program to not decertify that, which would put more money into the pot.
But Julie, okay. That's what he's talking about, though, is the same reason that if we say do this and he goes out to bids and the bids are higher, now we're back to the same situation that we were before. Or are we making a commitment, we want these streets done, and we will find a way to fund those streets? I mean, there's two sides. Do you know what I'm saying? So if we're going to be prepared to do the streets that we're talking about, then where's the funds going to come from? And I think that's what they're trying to do, is give us the options to say, if we need to get these streets done, then we need to find a way to pay for them.
And it is a valid argument that doing it this way could very, very really get us better bids,
yeah.
Get us more lineal footage, more square footage of roadway for our dollar,
yeah.
Doing it this way as opposed to the other way. But it is just a different way of doing it.
And another item that we have talked about and are planning on doing is pushing back the sale of the bond issue until after the bids are received, in case the bids come in higher than the engineer's estimates. So then the council can still decide,
sure,
if you want to do the projects at the prices that are bid. And that's one thing that came in last year. Yeah,
right?
The bids came in so much higher.
It doesn't leave our bidders going, it doesn't leave our bidders in a more precarious spot with their bid, to where is they're inclined to up the bid on individual projects, because then those projects may get axed.
Right.
So then you get artificially high bids. But that's not new for Wilmer. That's a kind of a rural cities.
So thinking problem. That they would just turn in a higher bid, thinking we'll just bond to cover it. If we...
higher bid because the project might not happen, so the projects that do happen, they need to protect their margins on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what was happening to us before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if that was just because Sean was comfortable with doing it that way, that was just his system, or did we have to say this needs to change?
Yeah, we've looked at that along with the assessment policy needs to change, and that's been trying to be done for the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, because 75% isn't realistic to prove that benefit to some of the parcels.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a liability.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that formula is.
So how are we supposed to make the decision of when he proposes
he's
this
asking
much project?
He's asking us to receive the improvement hearing and order, receive the improvement report and order an improvement hearing, and to adopt the preliminary budget. And all I was concerned about tonight is that we can get a clear understanding of what that budget is and where the funds would come from,
right,
so that we can be comfortable in saying we're prepared to adopt that report for what he wants to do.
And I believe both Steve and Sean did say that information will be within the report.
The report.
Yes.
Yeah. And the budget is a preliminary one, and it's a direction based on his recommended streets. It is amended at the time that the bids are received, but the discussion about the funding mechanism and the utility fee that was talked about at the retreat, we're preparing a report and possibly bringing it back to this committee or a planning session at the fifth Monday in April.
Sure.
I mean, because there's a long history of how the city has funded their street programs, and none of that has been on the property tax roll.
I like this concept of if we're going to if we're going to, for lack of a better term, axe projects, doing it based upon the budget estimate as opposed to the bids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to
result
in better bids on the projects that do happen.
And I remember he did make the he said it a couple of times, I'd rather have too much bid out and cut than having money left over and then not be able to get anybody to do the job when they could have. But
Yeah, and I think for it, we keep hearing how far behind we are on streets.
Right.
And so I think we have to take a different approach to say how many, what can we get done? And to be prepared for that versus, you know, because there was concerns that we cut last year and we didn't use all the money that was available.
Well, and we talked about the different parts of what he's proposing there and the different funding sources. I mean, right now in the numbers he's proposing on the traffic light on the mm-hmm. out on County Road 5, he's proposing to use state aid money, whereas that could be replaced with the sale of that industrial parkland. Those dollars would be available as well. And so you wouldn't, you know, you could use that MSA money for other portions
for the other part. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're looking at all the revenues and funding mechanisms and balances.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. So like MSA money could possibly go towards Cambridge?
No, it would have to be used for state aid projects.
State aid streets.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. But then that money could potentially be shifted. Then the money can continue shifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the state aid money pays normally for 100% of the surface and that, and yet we still assess, we don't borrow for it. So those assessments help accelerate how much more we can cover.
It's a domino effect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if we do it smart and strategically,
yep.
I guess that's our responsibility to try to find the most, you know, think outside the box, and to try to find the most efficient way to do that, stretch those dollars.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm comfortable.
Are we good with that? Everybody?
And again, we're working on a report to kind of show the whole history of the funding mechanisms available and used for the street program. I mean, there's 10 years of debt service out there. There's 10 years of assessments. And one thing that the city has really got going for us is that we have not experienced a large delinquency in assessments or properties going on the tax forfeited. I mean, as the mayor said in his speech, I think we only have one, and that just recently got on there. All the ones that had been or have all been sold and are back on the tax rolls.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's other communities where that's not the case.
Well, Andrew, anything else? Any questions?
No, I think I'm good with that.
Julie?
I'm good. Thank you for being patient with my learning curve.
That's what we're here for.
If there is anything or any reports that you want staff to put together and put on future agendas, just let our office know and we'll be more than happy to do that.
Really?
Yep.
Steve and I have talked about finance committee kind of things with what we should be looking at with that, and so I would hope that in the next couple meetings we can have a conversation about, is there anything else you want, you know, too, with what would help you to better understand or to streamline some of the things, because right now, I mean, we've been reviewing the bills or reviewing the checks and getting a monthly statement, and we will do that at our next meeting. Because of the time frame, you should have December maybe, or
a preliminary. Yeah. This time of the year we usually come out with a preliminary end of year 2018, then we have an adjusted year end, and then we have an audit after that. So normally that's not until April, and then the first 3 months of the year there's really no capital items other than equipment that takes place. And in the first 3 months of the year, other than snow removal and some of the seasonal type departments, and we kind of look at, but
planning.
So how did we come out with excess funds at the end of the year?
There was a large amount budgeted for a city hall debt service payment that was not used. And so since it wasn't in the capital, it's not automatically carried forward, and the council and or the mayor will have to address that issue as part of it. That's the biggest thing. Revenues were about right on, and with the number of the position vacancies, the expenditures are projected to be less than what we had anticipated. So there will be a carryover.
Too much money.
But we've always had carryover.
Yeah.
Ballpark figure. I mean,
I don't have one at this point. It's too early.
Okay, I just didn't know. No, but if you 300,000 or.
No, but when you look at how the budget's put together, we use that carryover to do the next budgets. And right. And it's usually...
It was 800 and some thousand that we carried over from 17 into the 19 budget process.
Okay. And so,
and that was exceptionally high, again, because of the open vacant positions. It had been going down into the $200,000 and $300,000 range on a $13, $14 million budget. That's getting really, really tight.
Yeah.
We don't want to leverage too...
But well, and it goes to the fund balances and the discussions we've had and the council's had on that. We have a $4 million cash flow deficit in the first 6 months of the year because we don't have any revenues coming in. Now, there are some other things that are causing some delays or some additional work with the this year end compared to last year, and that a lot of that is dealing with CARES Health. And the debt service is still the city's. The buildings and the properties are still the city's. So we are creating something different than what we had before when they were a component unit. And so...
And I'm just, again, learning.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ever going to be privy to what's going on with the Candy Mall? And...
I have no knowledge. That'd be a community development committee discussion.
Well, having to do... I thought there was an issue with what we had... What we gave for TIF and that they had...
Oh, the...
They were wanting the city to back down on some of it, or...
Well, I haven't heard that, but part of the financial statement, and you can look in last year's financial statement, we have to spell out all the tax increment districts, the tax abatement districts, and we have to put all that information in the footnotes of the financial statement. And so we will be looking at all that as part of our year-end process. So I will need to be having some, if there are some issues like that being discussed or without council action, it doesn't change anything.
Okay, but I thought they were either appealing it or suing the city or something.
And you know something we don't know.
If there's a lawsuit, that again would have to be divulged as part of the financial because it could be a potential liability. I'm not aware of any.
It wasn't just us. If there's a lawsuit, we're made privy to that pretty quickly.
But it was the county and the city because they had a meeting.
Okay.
And they had their big appraiser from New York or whatever and said, oh, they're paying too much taxes and stuff.
That was part of the Board of Review kind of type?
But after.
Court.
Yeah.
Request. Any TIF requests and awards, that would only be to improve. That would be to property improvements that would increase.
I don't think there's any tax increment districts in the mall. I think it was all a tax abatement process that was used for that one.
And that would be for new development.
And then there's always clawback provisions in those abatements and stuff where they have to meet the employment numbers and all that, and so
that may be something that they could appeal if they wanted to, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. That doesn't mean that they would prevail. You can appeal whatever you want,
but all that information again would be going through the Planning and Developmental Services Office. We haven't had any information. I mean, but I will need to. I send out an email to all departments if there are other things, and I go through all of the city contracts and tax abatement districts and tax increment districts. And
okay.
Yeah.
So unless they are violating what they agreed to get the tax abatement.
And now with staffing levels in planning and development, I'm not sure who's going to be reviewing the employment numbers and reports.
They
and
get
stuff.
Reviewed annually, correct?
By the Planning and Developmental Services Office.
And it has to go to the state?
The tax increment districts for sure has to be reported to the state. I'm not sure on the abatement side of it.
Okay. I was told it was audited on a regular schedule.
Yeah.
And we went with abatement for them.
I believe theirs is an abatement.
Okay. So if there is some legal maneuvering going on with that they have an issue with their property value or whatever, at what point does the council become privy to how much is daily operating, day-to-day operations for planning and development, and when does it come to us?
It comes to the Planning and Community Development Committee updates.
Okay.
So whoever's
especially
on that
if there's
one.
Something legal going on.
Yeah.
That's brought.
So
right
with
away.
With yeah. our relationship with the county, would it go to the county though, or would it come to us?
You mean as far as the assessing and the challenging of the
challenging,
value?
Yeah.
We have to get a letter.
and then it goes to the county, and then it goes to court.
Yeah, I would think so, that would be the process that would have to be followed.
Well, and there were things when we did the, I think...
Board of Review?
Board of Review. We had one that came to us, I think, and one that was going to the county or that bypassed.
But they got to notify us first.
Yes. But that would have been in the information that we did at that meeting.
But it does happen.
Which one said they were just going to go straight to the county and they...
Yeah, yeah.
Bypass the city review.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so part of that will I know our office will have knowledge of it this month sometime because that's our review of all the agreements and all that, and our correspondence to the other departments about, and to the city attorney about, is there any pending litigation, potential liability to the city? Because we have to divulge that in our footnotes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Gee, did you guys want to go home?
Steve, any other requests?
No.
All right. Thank you for meeting. Drive safely. A motion to adjourn?
Yep.
Second.
All right.
Done at?